So the picture we're looking at from the Bible this week of what a Christian ought to be is he is Christ's ambassador. And we saw that we picked that up from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Well, we're very familiar with ambassadors today, aren't we? I mean, the UK sends people abroad as ambassadors. We have ambassadors who come from other countries, and they come to the UK, and they represent their governments and so on. And we know if there's trouble at any time, you sometimes hear that, you know, the government has called in the ambassador of North Korea or something like that to give him a telling off, and that's the way diplomacy works, isn't it? Well, you say, you know, did Paul know anything about ambassadors? What did he know about ambassadors? Well, actually, in Roman times, which is when Paul was writing, it was very common for the Roman Senate, which was their government, if you like, and the emperor, in the emperor's name, to send ambassadors to other countries to represent the Roman interests in countries they hadn't already taken over as part of their empire. So Paul would be very familiar with this picture of an ambassador, someone who goes to a foreign country to represent the interests of the ones who have sent him, to represent the emperor, to seek to promote Roman policies and influence foreign nations, perhaps to become part of the Roman Empire themselves. And Paul, as we've seen, uses this illustration of an ambassador to describe an aspect of the role that any Christian is called upon to fulfill. Notice he didn't say, I am an ambassador of Christ. He said, we are Christ's ambassadors. So we're all included in that, even today. Each one of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus should and ought to be described as ambassadors of Christ. And what I'd like to think about is just four different little ideas about what an ambassador is. What an ambassador is. What's his role? What does he do? The first thing I've got is that he is commissioned to serve. An ambassador is commissioned to serve. So let's just imagine we know somebody who's appointed as an ambassador. I've given him a name. Let's call him Toby Smythe Jones. Does that sound that sort of ambassador's name? Of course, his background is he's been to Eton, he's been to Cambridge, you know, and he's well-connected and he's got the job of ambassador. When he gets his posting, is he going on his own account? Is he representing Toby Smythe Jones? No, of course he's not. When he goes abroad as an ambassador, he's not going in his own, as a free agent, as it were. He's directed, isn't he? The government directs him with what they want him to say to the foreign country when he gets there. And of course, he doesn't just sort of turn up at the door and says, you know, I'm the new ambassador of the UK. Of course not. He has to have diplomatic credentials, they call it. He has to take a formal letter from the UK government to the government that he's going to, which sets out that he is the authorized representative, that he has been commissioned to serve the UK government and to further its interests in the place that he's got to. Whilst he's abroad, he's still, we would call him in the diplomatic service, he's still a civil servant, isn't he? He's still a civil servant. Another way we could put it is he's a servant of the crown whilst he's there acting as an ambassador. And his role is not to speak for him about himself. His role is to promote the interests of the UK and speak about the UK's policies, to speak about what the crown wants him to say. Can we follow this up with just changing it around to ourselves? What about ourselves as ambassadors for Christ? I think what we can learn is that we're not free agents. We're not just out there to do whatever we fancy in our own strength, in our own way. That's not what an ambassador would do, and it's not what we ought to be doing as Christians in the place where God has put us. Just as our ambassadors are servants of the crown, so we as Christians are servants of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are Christ's servants. We are royal ambassadors, as it said in that song. And Paul was very aware of this. He wasn't asking people to be what he wasn't prepared to be. When he writes, for example, in Romans 1, verse 1, he says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. And what does a servant do? Well, he's got a job to do, but he sets aside his own desires, his own rights, his own ways, and he says, I'm going to go the way my master wants me to go. I'm going to make it my business to work for my master and to do the best for him so that his good can come out of it. That's why I chose that song, to remind us that I live to serve your majesty ought to be the watchword that we live by. We are commissioned to serve as ambassadors. You know, you can't be an ambassador of Christ unless you've got the credentials. Unless you are Christ's, you can't be one of his ambassadors. How do we get the credentials? Well, it's not from a christening roll or anything that a certificate we have or anything anybody else has said over us. We have to have that personal faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's the credentials we have. When we are born again by the Spirit of God and our confession of faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus, we are the Lord's. We're on his side. And we are then ambassadors for Christ. So an ambassador isn't a free agent. And we as Christians, we're not really free agents. We should be submitting to the will of the Lord Jesus as revealed to us in the scriptures, as revealed to us as the Holy Spirit works in our own hearts and lives, and as other people give us good advice. Here's the second thing I was thinking about the ambassador. He's expected to go. He's expected to go. Just think about our fictional ambassador, Toby. He's waiting for his first posting abroad. He's thinking, wow, wouldn't Washington be fantastic to be the ambassador there, the great big embassy they've got, you know, into all the high echelons? Might even get to meet Donald Trump. Great. Or what about Paris? Wow, that would be a great place to be an ambassador, wouldn't it? Or what about Barbados? Sun, sea, sand. It'd be fantastic to be the ambassador there. He goes into the job application interview. Oh, we've got just a job for you, Toby. Out to Mongolia. We need an ambassador out there. Does he have a choice? If that's his posting, he has to go. He goes abroad. He goes away. He goes into our situation, which is not his home, as it were. And as ambassadors for Christ, we are sent to. Do you remember the Lord that before he went up in his ascension, he said to his disciples, go and make disciples of all nations. All nations. And he says in John 20:21, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. I am sending you. As ambassadors for Christ, he puts us in situations that he wants us to be in. Now, Outer Mongolia isn't most likely the place that God was going to send us. Some people are called to be missionaries and go and serve him in other countries, aren't they? But for the majority of Christians, he asks us to be his ambassadors just where we are. In our own situation. And so we're to be ambassadors at home for Christ. We're to be ambassadors amongst our families. We're to be ambassadors in our workplaces. We're to be ambassadors amongst people we meet in the normal course of our lives. We're to be ambassadors among the people we meet in church. You know, the Bible says, and Alan brought this to us right at the beginning of our series when we were talking about being strangers and pilgrims, that our citizenship, says the scripture in Philippians 3:20, is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. That's our home country, as it were. And all the time we're here in this world, we're on foreign territory. And that's why we are ambassadors. We're sent from heaven, as it were, by the Lord Jesus, to be his ambassadors in the world where we are. Not necessarily going abroad, it might be our calling, but serving him here, serving him where we are as ambassadors. But of course, the world around us is particularly, in our country, apathetic to the message we want to bring them, isn't it? In some places, the situation in which people are called to be ambassadors for Christ is one of hostility and opposition and persecution. We should expect it, says the New Testament, because in a sense we're on Satan's territory, as we were reminded when we were speaking about ourselves as soldiers. We do have an enemy to thwart us. But when it gets tough for an ambassador, he doesn't quit, does he? He sticks it out. He keeps on going. And we know that ambassadors have been killed as a result of violence against the embassy and so on, where they were there. They didn't run away, they were there, and they lost their lives as a result of it. And like David reminded us last week, like a runner, we should see it through to the end and not quit and not give up. We're instructed to go. And God sends us into our little corner of his world to be his ambassadors. And he calls us to serve him in that situation. Then my third thing is an ambassador is expected to be a representative. Just imagine our Toby. He sets foot in Outer Mongolia. And he isn't a very good boy. You know, he goes to the receptions that they have, plenty of drink available. He drinks a little bit too much, and he insults the host country he's there. Then he gets a reputation for being a bit of a ladies' man. And they find out when he's driving the embassy car that he doesn't take a lot of notice of the driving signs of the country, and he just leaves it in parks wherever he wants without thinking of others. He wouldn't be a very good representative, would he? To be honest, he probably won't last long because the government would hoik him back and put somebody better in his place. He's representing the UK. He's representing the country. And therefore, standards are expected of him, high standards, because of who he's serving. He's a servant of the crown. And how the ambassador conducts himself, whether it's well or badly, reflects on the UK, the country, the people that have sent him. If an ordinary ambassador behaved in the sort of way I'm saying, it wouldn't reflect very well on his country. And here's the challenge for us. As ambassadors for Christ, the way we behave, the way we conduct ourselves, will reflect either well or badly on the Lord Jesus, who we should be representing. How many of us have heard the sort of message when we talk to people about Christian things, they says, well, if a so-called Christian behaves like that, I want nothing to do with it. You heard that? I have. Or they say, oh, they're all just hypocrites. They say one thing in church, but they act completely differently outside. I've heard that as well. And at times, you have to be honest, there is some truth in it. But it ought not to be. As ambassadors for Christ, we are his representative in the world. And we should be living for him and representing him to the best of our ability. It's a privilege to be an ambassador, but it also brings responsibility. And I think our reading summed it up in verse number 11. It said this, those who live in Christ should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them. No longer live for ourselves, but for him who died for us. We are his representative. We should live up to that standard. And here's the last thing an ambassador is. He's entrusted with a mission and a message. He's entrusted with a mission and a message. When our ambassadors go abroad, they have contact with the foreign country's rulers. He's there to promote the UK interests. He has the opportunity and the means to pass on a message from the UK to his hosts in a personal way. You could say he's acting as an agent or a conduit, so the information flows from him into the country that he's working in. And Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, in the section we've read, says, we've got a mission and a message. His mission, he says, is in verse number 20, as though God were making his appeal through us. We are God's agents. We are the conduit through which God seeks to draw people to himself. We, God making his appeal through us. Well, that's a challenge, isn't it? And a bit scary. The mission in verse 18 is this: he gave us the ministry, or the mission, of reconciliation. The ministry, or the mission, of reconciliation. And what's the message? In verse 19, he's committed to us the message of reconciliation. So at the heart of the message is this thought of reconciliation, and we've thought of that a little already. Reconciliation is to do with putting right broken relationships, isn't it? Broken relationships. Relationships are fractured, broken. And what he's concerned about here is not so much, I think, the ministry of reconciliation in trying to bring people together on the horizontal level, but it's on the vertical level. The relationship between us as sinful people and God, who is holy, just, and righteous. That's the reconciliation I think he's talking about here. Because he's expressing it in the terms of the fact that Jesus died for us, the fact that he was made sin for us, that we might go free, that we might be reconciled to God. Our sinfulness has separated us from a holy God and will consign us, as we know, to an eternity away from God and in judgment. But the Lord Jesus came that he might bridge that gap, provide that means by which God can be just to himself in saying that sin is dealt with, because sin was dealt with on the Lord Jesus. We read the verse, didn't we? God made him, that's the Lord Jesus, who did no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might be made the righteousness of God. That's the process by which God can be just and can make us just and righteous, because we're reconciled to him through the death of the Lord Jesus, who died for us. He took the punishment that should have been ours. He paid the price for sin. But when we come to him, God is willing to forgive us, to reconcile us to himself, to draw us into a new relationship with him. We're made new creatures, it said in our verses, and we're given a new relationship with God. No longer frightened, but now we come to him with praise and thanksgiving and joy, as we sang in our first song. What love this was, wasn't it? And God so loved the world that he gave his only son. How valued we are, that he who knew no sin was willing to take my sin, was willing to be made my sin, to take my burden and to deal with it at the cross. And that's why we love and serve the Savior. That's why we don't live for ourselves, because he's done so much for us. As Christ's ambassadors, we are responsible for taking on this mission and preaching this good news of reconciliation to others. Let me just quickly point out some of the things that Paul says about how he went about this mission of reaching out to others. In verse 11, he said, we try to persuade others. We try to persuade others. That's an interesting way of putting it, isn't it? In the preaching of the gospel and presenting Christ to people, we seek to persuade them. Unlike other religions that we're familiar with, they enforce conversions, don't they? You know, if you convert to our way, or we'll kill you. Sometimes it can be by bribery, can't you? You join us, and we'll make sure you get 3 meals a day. We'll look after you. But Paul says we're not out to enforce the Christian message. That's not how we do it. We're not out to bribe people to become Christians. We want to persuade them. We want to present them with the truth and the arguments, and we can give a good defense for our faith. We present it reasonably and attractively and relevantly to others in their situation, so that we can show them and present to them the reconciliation. The second thing he says in verse 11 was, what we are is plain to God. So as he goes about this ministry of reconciliation and preaching people how they can be put right with God and be reconciled to him, he's transparent about it. He's honest. The word I've got down is he's living a life of integrity, not like those Gibeonites that we read of earlier. They were dishonest in the way they came. I read a cynical quote, an ambassador is an honest man sent abroad to lie for his country. We ought not to be like that, ought we? Who we are, what we stand for, should be obvious, plain, and clear. We shouldn't be trying to bamboozle people. We shouldn't be trying to be hypocritical. We should be plain before God and plain before others. The third thing he says, that he's compelled by Christ's love. Compelled by Christ's love. We will meet hostility. We will meet unbelief. We will meet apathy. But Paul had this compulsion that pushed him forward and pushed him onwards and kept him going. And it was Christ's love for him. And Christ's love that he wanted to share with others, because it was a message that was worth hearing and would affect them not only in this life but in the eternity to come. Christ's love for them. And he wanted to share that love with them. And it compelled him onwards. And he says at the end of his passage we read together, in a clear and unambiguous way, what was required. He didn't wrap it up in lots of jargon. He just says, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. And I, like other preachers, have to be careful. We don't wrap it up in too much jargon and make it too difficult, because at the end of the day, that's the appeal we make to people. Be reconciled to God. God has done all that's necessary, but you have to respond, as we all do. So the challenge comes to us today. What sort of ambassador are you for Christ? Perhaps more to the point, what sort of ambassador of Christ do other people think we are? We may not be called to be missionaries in a foreign country, but just where we are, do we live out the gospel of reconciliation? Do we take opportunities to share that message of reconciliation with others? Our commitment should be, as the song we had earlier, can I remind you of the words? We are ambassadors for Christ, sharing his love and his light through the way we choose to live our lives. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are honored to serve the King of Kings. We are willing to go wherever he leads. We are ambassadors for Christ, helping the world to realize that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. May God help us to understand what it means for us to live out day by day as an ambassador for Christ. We're going to sing another hymn to close with, number 178, Go Forth and Tell, O Church of God, Awake. God's saving news to all the nations take, proclaiming Christ Jesus, Savior, Lord, and King, that all the world his worthy praise may sing. Number 178.